Good morning and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McLavey welcoming you to our time together. We are now entering into the season of Lent. Last Wednesday night was our great Ash Wednesday service where we prepared ourselves to enter into the new season of Lent. This is a season when we not only look inward to how we can become better persons ourselves through a sense of cleansing, through repentance. Some people fast, but we look inward in ways that we can become better people, following more closely the image of Christ. And another way that we can do that is to show Christ's love to one another. And so today I'm going to have a message entitled, Let Us Love One Another. And it comes from the letter of 1 John, John's first letter. And I hope you'll find it inspiring, a way that we can, again, look inward and think about what it means to be able to love one another. So as we prepare now to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Dear Lord, we do thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, for the way that he came to save each of us and to give us that gift of eternal life, a gift of true love. But Lord, we recognize that in this time, as we not only recognize your love and the love of Christ for each of us, that we too need to love. We need to show Christ's love to others. So help us as we struggle in our ways to show that love. And now we pray that you will open our hearts and our minds and help us, Lord, to hear your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture passage this morning does come from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is the word of the Lord. Well, it's quite clear that God's gift to us is his Son, Jesus our Savior. And during this season of Lent, we think a lot about Jesus and his sacrifice for us. But have we thought of him as God's gift to us, the gift of love? And why is this gift so valuable? Well, we can measure the value of this gift in three ways. First, God's gift is measured by its motive. It doesn't matter how awesome the gift is. If the motive of the giver is somehow in question, then the value of the gift is diminished. Maybe someone is motivated by guilt or obligation. Maybe someone is motivated by a desire for others to see how generous they are or what great taste they have. Maybe someone is trying to buy our favor. On the other hand, if a gift is motivated by love, then it really doesn't matter what it is. We will appreciate it. I have mentioned before my maternal grandmother, one whose faith was so strong and one who had a major impact on my life and my faith journey. And that was my maternal grandmother, whose name was Genevieve, or Jenny as she was known affectionately. She had a hard life in many ways. It was in a time when there was not a lot of extra money to spend, certainly not for gifts. And so she worked as a dishwasher in a little cafe to earn extra money. And I remember so vividly one Christmas, she gave me a small slate blackboard and colored chalk for Christmas. You know, it probably meant more to me than many of the more expensive gifts that I received that Christmas. And obviously, to this day, I remember that gift because I know that it was given by love, and it was given as a sacrifice from her. She had had to work to earn extra money, even to buy a small gift. Well, these verses tell us the motive behind God's gift was love. John says, "This is how God showed his love among us." And then later he says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us." And so the one whose birth we celebrate each year at Christmas was the manifestation of God's love. And that love didn't come in response to our love. This gift was initiated solely by God. There are many reasons God sent his Son. His Son would reveal God's nature. His Son would accomplish salvation. His Son would bring him glory. But the greatest reason God sent his Son is that he loves us. You might even say he'd rather die than live without us. It was Max Lucado in one of his books says, "If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. Whenever you want to talk to him, he'll listen. He could live anywhere in the universe, but he chose your heart. Face it, friend, he's crazy about you." Yes, God knows us perfectly. All things are open and laid bare before him. Our deepest and darkest secret, our deepest shame, our stormy past, our worst thought, our hidden motive, or even our vilest imagination, even our vain attempts to cover it all up and appear to be something that we're not. God sees all of this, and yet he still loved us enough to send his Son. So God's gift is measured by its motive, but it's also measured by its cost. Now, I know a gift doesn't have to be expensive to be meaningful and even valuable, as I just mentioned about the small slate blackboard from my grandma Jenny. Cost is measured in many different ways. You can pay a lot of money for a gift, and that's one way to measure the cost, obviously. Or you can spend a lot of time finding or even making a gift, and that's another way to measure cost. For some, time and energy are far more costly than money. So how do we measure the value of God's gift in terms of cost? Well, it says here in our scripture passage that he sent his one and only son into the world. Now that was costly. We don't always think of that as costly, but it was. Theologians call this kenosis. It comes from the Greek word meaning to empty. And the word is used in Philippians 2, verse 7, where it says, "Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing." Here, he emptied himself by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Yes, that's the description of Jesus. That kenosis, that emptying, was part of the cost. God stepped from his throne, removed his robe of light, and wrapped himself in human skin. The light of the universe entered a dark world. Now you might say Jesus bade farewell to everything he'd known in heaven. That was costly, but it didn't stop there. There was even a greater price to pay. John also says God the Father sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. There was a cost in kenosis, but there was an even greater cost on the cross. In the same passage in Philippians, Paul goes on to say in verse 8, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." In order for us to be set free from sin and death, a payment had to be made. Throughout the Old Testament, it was the blood of a spotless lamb that was shed year after year to pay for the sins of God's people. But that was just a picture of God's once and for all solution. His spotless Son would shed his own blood. Remember, before Jesus' birth, the angel said to Joseph, "He will save his people from their sins." He didn't do that through his birth, but rather through his death. We remember the purpose for which he came. He came on a mission. He came to die for us. And the birth of God's Son is wonderful and mysterious, but it's for nothing apart from his death on the cross. As wonderful as it is to feel joy over Jesus' birth, it's during Lent that we are reminded that he came to be crucified for you and me. God's gift is measured by its motive and by its cost. But there's one more thing. It's also measured by its usefulness. What's the usefulness of that gift to us? Well, notice in verse 9, it says that we might live through him. So God's gift has the ultimate value that it gives us life. Life in the sense doesn't mean physical existence, but it means spiritual life, eternal life, life with God that starts now. Later in this letter, John writes, "God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." That comes from 1 John chapter 5. Now Jesus said it this way, "I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." Well, what a promise. Not just life, not just existence, but life which means something, life that has value, life with a purpose, a life with eternal consequences and benefits. You've heard me talk about doing a self-inventory. What are our God-given gifts? That's another valuable exercise to do during this season of Lent. As we are thinking about God's gift to us, we can also think about what are the gifts that we can give back to bring glory to God through our gifts to other people. Well, obviously, loving one another is one of those things, but we can also look at what are the gifts God has given us? What is it that comes naturally to us? What is it that we enjoy doing? What is it that brings us great fulfillment and satisfaction? And then start thinking of those as God-given gifts, and how can they be used to bring glory to God? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." We were specially created, handcrafted, uniquely made for the purpose of bringing glory to God. Our purpose is to live a life that magnifies the Lord, to use our gifts and talents in helping others, to tell those who don't know Jesus that there's good news. Our purpose is to bring glory to God in all we do and say, so that when all is said and done, we will hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." God's gift of his Son is useful. It gives us life. Despite our weaknesses, it gives us meaning and value and purpose. And our purpose is to bring glory to God. God has given us the gift of his Son. The value of that gift is seen in its motive, its cost, and its usefulness. Its motive was love. Its cost was both his self-emptying and his cross. And its usefulness is that through this gift we get real life that lasts throughout eternity. I wonder if God's gift to us will be redeemed and used or just left in the drawer. You see, God has given us the costliest gift imaginable, but just like all the gifts, as we look ahead, we realize that we must open it, we must use it, and we must use it to the glory of God. That's what it means. So I've heard it said that the word did not become a philosophy to be discussed, a theory to be debated, or a concept to be pondered. The word became a person to be followed, enjoyed, and loved. So as we look ahead now during this season of Lent, let us follow, enjoy, and love our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, and one more thing. Let us love one another to the glory of God. Amen. And now, friends, today Alan Vest has prepared for us a great familiar old hymn, "When the Roll is Called Up Yonder." This hymn was written by James Milton Black, today arranged and performed by Alan Vest. Here is "When the Roll is Called Up Yonder." ¶¶
trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. A cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of His resurrection share, when His chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be
thanks to Alan for that great old hymn. So friends, as we enter into this season of Lent, let us be reminded of what it says here in 1 John. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Indeed, those of us who follow God closely who attempt to live a life that brings glory and honor to Him from time to time. Yes, we understand what that love really feels like. So let's share it with the world. Let us love one another. Have a great week ahead, and thank you for listening.